This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. I'm your host, Tim Morrison. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the book they have written, are in the process of writing, or intend to write someday. My co-host and the producer of Right Here, Right Now is Andy Lowe. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Dr. Tim. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I am in recovery mode, my friend.
Uh-oh. What did you do?
I took on a half iron triathlon on Sunday, and it was not a flat course like I did in Florida last year with the full. It was a very hilly, challenging course in Ellijay, Georgia. So all mountains, all hills. And
I know Ellijay.
it was a humbling experience, but we held in there and did well. So now it's just got to get the body healed.
That's why you're a little slower today.
Why I'm a little slower today.
Okay, but you did well.
Yeah, had a good day out there today.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm going to be talking with Doug Grady later today. I'll let him know what you did. Doug was on our show last week, and you guys were talking about this nonsense. I also learned that my cousin's daughter, who's 26, I believe, did one of those mud runs out in California.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine this beautiful blonde being covered in mud, but her mom said she did, and she was.
It's really pretty interesting. The girls get more into it than the guys do. I mean, there's some savage beasts that come out of the ladies out there in the mud course.
I can only imagine. Well, you'll stay awake for the show today?
I am definitely awake.
Good. We like that. We like that. Well, this show today is a conversation in contrast, and I'm just excited about the potential for it. One of our guests, Justin Streeter, is embarking on his writing journey, and George Horgan's third book will be released in the coming weeks, and he even has number 4 scheduled for release next year. Now, what I hope to do today is that our conversations will give us a look inside the mind of a writer, the new writer and the seasoned writer, and the thoughts, the ideas, concerns, hopes, and more that buzz within the mind. How do they deal with that mind noise, and how does that noise impact the confidence to begin to write or the confidence that is needed to keep on writing? So, well, Justin Streeter, our first guest, is Principal Chief Investment Officer at Streeter Riddle Financial. Justin is, I love this, you're a CPA and an MBA and a CFP, right?
Yes, sir.
And more importantly, he's my friend. We've known each other for a number of years. And Justin, along with his business partner, Andrew Riddle, has undertaken the book writing adventure. In fact, I've met with Andrew a couple of times. So the firm is writers, right?
That's right. We're trying to get the message,
Justin,
out there. Thank you.
We're glad
Thank
to
you for having
here.
Me.
You're sure welcome. Tell us about the start of your writing journey. What motivated you to decide to write a book? Did I browbeat you or something?
Well, you know, you had been speaking at a couple different networking events, and definitely had some ideas. I've been reading some Dr. Taleb, you know, some really heavy philosophical stuff, The Black Swan, as well as Fooled by Randomness. And I started thinking a lot about the two sides of the coin, you know, the financial side as well as the human side to our lives. And as a financial advisor, we tend to focus a lot on the financial side, but at the same time, you know, that's like only half of the equation. So I really kind of got a little philosophical in my writing, and I think I might have bitten off too much to chew, so to say, on that first attempt.
Oh, never, never. It's just, you know, I know it's overwhelming, and especially when you get started, and I appreciate your saying what you just did, Justin. Some people think, oh, you just sit down and you start to write, and then you finish. Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, and you found that, haven't you?
You did, and you've been great at helping me kind of shape the journey, but just kind of getting my arms around that was like trying to hug a cloud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
beautiful to think, but hard to do, right?
it sounds so great in my head. It doesn't sound so great on paper sometimes.
Well, what I appreciate you just said also is you're reading The Black Swan, and I've done that as well. And that's a challenging book that really sets some thoughts going, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Another reason that I've been taken to Justin is when he's at these networking events, he always introduces himself as an unlicensed marriage counselor.
Yes, I do.
You want to explain that?
Well, I do. I mean, when you think about, you know, I don't want to speak for your experience, but from my experience, you know, when a couple argues, very often they're arguing about money.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see that in my daily life and my daily work. And so I just figured I would embrace that and just let me people know that's what I do.
That's what you do. And that eases the situation, doesn't it?
It does. And it has a lot to do with communication. It's more about bringing the two couples together. Just recently I had a client in for an estate planning meeting, and they'd been married for 40 years, and they started to talk about end-of-life decisions. And the wife said, well, I know what you want to have happen at that last day. And he said, oh, that's not no way. That's the opposite of what I want. And so that just almost floored her right there. You know, she'd been with him for so long and just thought she knew exactly where it was coming from. The same is true for retirement. You get mom and dad in there and you start talking about retirement. We encourage them to paint the picture. Mm-hmm. You know, we're trying to let them to paint a word picture so they kind of start looking at it in their heads.
Mm-hmm.
And once we do that, you'll be surprised. Oh, it's in the mountains. Oh, no, it has to be by the lake because that's where the kids will come see us. So, you know, it's two different locations, literally.
Well, what I like about that and what prompted me to kind of poke Justin to consider writing is this whole idea of an unlicensed marriage counselor, because that we know certified financial planners. We all know them. I mean, and we're lucky if we only know one, you know, because they all vie for our services. But for you to take that perspective, and that's the kind of thing that I'm always lifting up when I talk with people about writing, what's unique? And I got to tell you, Justin, you're the only CFP that I know that talks about being an unlicensed marriage counselor.
Thank you.
And the way you just framed it is beautiful. And you're right. When I was in ministry, money was an issue when I would counsel couples.
Sure,
that was it. What I like, too, is for our listeners, I met with Justin and Andrew about a week ago to discuss not just their writing, but how they can advise me in my business. And I was blown away when you started with the question, so what do you want to do when you retire?
Exactly.
And
what do you want to do when you grow up?
That too. And I've been doing such a great job of it the past 5 years. But you mentioned in the story the lake or the forest, you know, the beach or the mountains, one or the other. And that's a conversation Marta and I often have. Where do you want to go for vacation? And I think if I were to retire and go to the mountains, it would have to be by myself because I need that solitude.
Mm-hmm.
If I retire and do the beach, I can take my wife with me.
Exactly.
And we laugh about that.
Another thing that, you know, that I think kind of feeds into that is the whole word retirement. It has so much baggage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we talk about retirement, it's got a baggage where it kind of like associate. Remember, when I was a kid, associate used to mean something. Now everybody in JCPenney is an associate. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of retirement, I like restylement. Okay, that's a made-up word. But
say that again.
Restylement.
That's what I thought you said. I like
so
that.
So you're changing a job that you have to go to a job that you love,
uh-huh.
and the pay usually goes down. So whether you're starting a new business or you're volunteering more, or you know you continue to work a little bit, I like that idea of restylement versus retirement.
Okay.
Because at retirement comes with it that baggage of, here's grandpa on the porch rocking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the way to retire.
That isn't what we do these days for the most part, is it?
And it's not healthy, because I've had clients do that, and it doesn't work out very well.
They're not there for very long.
No, I can agree with that. I mean, I know my parents didn't sit around on the porch and didn't want to. I mean, they'd created a habit of working their whole lives, and they wanted to keep busy, at least with something. They wanted to enjoy it, not feel like it was a task, but
it's hard to turn that off.
It is.
And there's no reason to, in my opinion.
Well, when you first started thinking about writing and what you've been thinking about of late, what ideas, what topics, you know, you and I've met, and I know I've pushed you in certain areas. Right now I'm drawing a total blank.
It's all right. But what I was looking at is, instead of trying to hug that cloud with this whole two sides of the financial coin, you know, your financial life and your human capital, so to say, is more about, you know, crawling before I walk or run, and just stick with, you know, retirement and taxes and estate planning and kind of my take on those.
Okay. That's it. I'm remembering the phrase now of the human capital. And, and what do you do with that?
Well, you know, human capital is the other side of the financial coin. Human capital is all your skills, experiences, and what you essentially who you are. If we had a machine in the basement that did everything you did, mm-hmm. what would that be worth? You know, what do you bring to the table?
Mm-hmm.
And how risky is your job? How risky is your paycheck? That kind of stuff.
And what do you want to do with it?
Exactly.
Okay. Now, looking back to our conversation a week ago, you did start off with the, what do I want to do when I grow up? that's what I was thinking when you actually asked the question, but you didn't put it that way, so we're on the same. What are some other questions that you ask?
Yeah, some of the other questions we ask clients is, picture yourself on the first day of that restylement. What mm-hmm. are you doing? Who are you seeing? What are you going to go do? Where are you?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you physically? Where are you mentally? Where are you, where you're treasuring? What's your next piece going mm-hmm. to be? What is your next job, so to say? Is that restarting that business? Is it writing the great American novel with mm-hmm. Dr. Tim Morrison? Or,
Thank you.
So on and so forth.
Okay. When you think about writing all that down, what goes on inside of your gut or in your head?
It comes out real easily because I'm used to talking to clients about it. But when you take pen to paper, the hand starts to get a little squiggly, and then my ADD takes over, and there's a cloud that went by that looks more interesting than the paper.
Uh-huh.
So.
And there's a squirrel that's running over there,
exactly.
And let's look at that. And I've run into a bunch of people like you of late. They all something about clouds and squirrels.
Exactly.
But isn't it, I think that's a critical point, though, Justin, that I want to lift up. We feel so comfortable in saying what we know.
Mm-hmm.
But when you begin to put it in print, that's when it gets a little queasy, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's the permanence. It's the, is this really what you almost challenge yourself, even though that's what you think, you know? So,
I appreciate your sharing that. You know, when I wrote my books, I went through that, but I thought that was just me. But it's not.
I don't think
we
so.
No. We put it out there. Oh, man, do I really want to say it that way?
The other thing is, a lot of my work is the numbers piece. It's mm-hmm. the financial capital versus the human capital. And so getting into that, getting that creative muscle mm-hmm. Built up is hard after tax season when you're just, creativity is not really encouraged when you're dealing with taxes. So
that's true.
It has its place, but you have to stay in the bounds. So, mm-hmm.
But you're such a natural speaker too.
Thank you.
As I've watched you, and you command a crowd well. They'll listen to you. Are you nervous when you speak like that?
Sometimes I am. Mm-hmm. There's always that little, what do you want to call it? The little scratch in the back of your head that says, mm-hmm. They're not listening or it's the doubt that mm-hmm. we all have, but, you just have to fight that down.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's kind of the same challenge you're talking about with writing, though.
Absolutely.
If you start measuring and judging each word as it comes out, it can really disrupt the flow.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. Thank you.
How have you managed? I mean, obviously you managed to deal with that in speaking. How have you managed to incorporate dealing with that with the writing?
Well, that's why Dr. Tim has been beating on me, because I haven't been doing my homework like I said. But I think talking about exercising that creative muscle, I think I just need to. I was most successful at my writing task working with Dr. Tim when I was putting it down in the calendar. So I probably need to get back to kind of making time for it and making it important and locking my room without clouds and squirrels. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you and Andrew are setting about to create, so to speak, a book division for your practice.
Yes, we are.
What's your dream there?
The dream there is to have, for lack of a better term, a bookshelf where our clients, prospective clients, can kind of turn to get our perspective on restylement mm-hmm. and on estate planning and so on and so forth. Because, as much as we all like to think that we're for everybody, mm-hmm. I'm blueberry. Some people like
strawberry.
They like strawberries. And that's okay, because, it has to be that fit too, because it's a very personal mm-hmm. service that we offer. Mm-hmm. We want to be on that journey till the end of restylement, essentially. Mm-hmm. And that's a long vacation. That's a 40-year vacation.
It can be. It can be. But I like that concept, and I like the fact that the two of you have begun to think about that. What are the books? And you know, I want to say right here that in my work with you guys, you're looking at smaller books. You're looking right at the smaller product that I've suggested to you. And I want to emphasize that to our listeners. A book does not have to be Jagunda. I think we're looking at
like
about
the Black Swan.
You know, like the Black Swan, yes, and fine print, as I recall.
It was.
But we're talking about maybe 8,500 to 12,000 words.
Yes.
And that's not too difficult. Well, I shouldn't say that. It's still a challenge to write, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
What's you've talked about the noise and what am I, you know, who am I basically to write? What other kinds of struggles do you find?
It's just I think that's anything when you're trying to set off and do the long term versus the short term. The mm-hmm. short term's always obvious. You know, the dog needs to go out.
Mm-hmm.
But the long term is, you know, maybe he needs a dog run. Uh-huh. And that's, I mean, we don't always make the step to, okay, now I've got to string the wire for the dog run and all mm-hmm. that, or the fence or whatever. So that's why I struggle with it. It's what I call the quad one and what Stephen Covey calls the quad one. That's always, you know, that's the emergencies, that's the fires.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times if we're not careful, we can let the fires and the emergencies take over so that everything's always a fire and emergency.
Oh, sure.
Versus working on those quad two things like writing a book,
mm-hmm.
that's very important. It's not urgent. So that's the discipline I'm tasking myself with. And now coming on your show, it
really puts the screws to you.
It really does. We're in full guilt mode now.
And you did an amazing job to keep saying no, and I outflanked you, didn't I?
You did. And, you know, I respect you, so
well,
thank you for having me.
Thank you. But really, I'm glad you took the bait. I'm glad you're here, and I really am glad to be working with you. Last question for you. What advice would you give to those who are considering writing a book?
You know, I would definitely say that to start with a mind map, don't start writing, because that's what I started with, and I think I kind of got off on a rabbit trail. Dr. Tim has some great writing materials on the mind map and how to do that. And that would be my first thing is make sure you know where you're going before you start
that's
writing.
That's great.
Because pages can get away from you and concepts can get away. That'll bring you back.
I was talking with another marketer earlier this week, and he said he's been asked by a bunch of people to market their books, and he looks at them, and he's not sure. He knows where they started, but he's really not convinced they know where they ended.
Right.
And that's a big thing. You got to know where you're going. Well, Justin, people want to be in contact with you, ask you about your business or your writing journey, or sign up for some unlicensed marriage counseling.
Yes, please.
How would they be in touch with you?
Yeah, the best thing to do would be to go to my website, which is www.streeter-riddle.com. That's www.streeter-riddle.com. And our phone number is 678-456-5546. That's area code 678-456-5546. Thank you.
Great. So will you stay with us as I interview our second guest?
Yes, please.
Oh, right answer. We like that. Well, our second guest is George Horrigan, who is CEO of Fountainhead Consulting Group. And he describes himself as a dream architect. He shows his clients step-by-step processes to turn their businesses into the dreams they have held for their business. And welcome, George.
Thank you, Tim.
Now, we're going to go to the other extreme. Justin is in the process of thinking about writing and has made some notes and all that. You're about to have book number three hit the market.
That is correct.
Tell us about it.
Well, the origin of this book came from clients requesting it. Clients said, you know, you need to write a book on this. We've worked with over 1,200 businesses these last 15 years in honing our methodology. Mm-hmm. And that's the key thing here is getting our methodology out.
Well, what's the title of the book?
The title of the book is Thriving Businesses. Thriving Businesses. And the subtitle is How to Create an Immensely Profitable Business in Seven Easy Steps.
Seven Easy Steps. You're kidding. And he says it with a smile and affirmation.
Yep.
But your clients have pushed you. What was it like to write that book? you know, you may have heard Justin say that when you start to put it down in writing, it's a whole lot different than when you just sit at your desk and spew it out. What was that like for you?
Well, having written two books beforehand, I have been down this road, and I knew what the experience was going to be like. And this is, many people ask me, what's it like to write a book? And this is how I describe it. It's like wading through a swamp. You look out at a swamp in front of you, and let's say it's 800 yards wide, and you say, oh, I can wade through that. And you wade about 50 yards into that swamp, and you go, this is hard work. You get about 100 yards into that swamp, and you go, I don't know if I can make it. You get about 200 yards into that, and you're ready to give up.
That's and the alligators haven't even arrived
yet.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. And that's what it's like reading writing a book there. What I have found is you have to have that vision of what that book's going to look like. As Justin shared, picture yourself in restylement, picturing yourself with that book finished, that vision of what that book's going to look like there. And that's the compulsion that drives you forward.
What's you know, in my intro I said I'm going to talk to you guys about the buzz, the noise that's in it. The noise doesn't go away, book three, book four, does it?
No, it doesn't. It decreases because you've been down this road. You know you're going to get those doubts. Number one, you know you're going to feel overwhelmed. Number three is you're going to say, who am I to write this? Who's going to read this? And as you say to yourself, okay, I've done this before. I know that the process I'm going through is going to be a good process. People are definitely interested in reading this book. You encourage yourself.
I got to tell you, I really appreciate what you just said, because I've had clients come in and say, I'm ready to write and I know the world's waiting for this book. They don't say it quite that way, but that's really the message. And that's when I get really nervous, because if they're convinced the world's waiting for the book, they they don't have a clue as to what's going on.
It's a lot of hard work.
It is. I like your swamp thing. What's it? Do you ever make the 800 yards?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it was so funny because when I wrote both of these books at the same time. So
number three and number four.
Number three and number four. I actually wrote book four before I wrote book three.
You wanted to know where you were going with book three, right?
Exactly. That is exactly. Well, here's the big picture. We've developed a unique step-by-step methodology, a structured approach to how you grow an existing business or start a new business. And as I shared, we've done that with over 1,200 businesses these last 15 years. So I started to write just one book, and I wrote that book being my fourth book. And as I got into that, I said, wait a minute, this is overkill. This will be overwhelming to the smaller business owner or to somebody starting a business. So I said, well, let me finish the fourth book, then take a step back and say, okay, for a business $500,000 and down, startup, small business, just getting traction, what things do they need from the fourth book? And then what additional things do I want to put in that are specific to that smaller business? So that's how the third book came to be written after I'd written the fourth book.
How did one and two come out? How did those take shape?
Well, I have a master's degree in computer science as well as an undergrad degree in accounting, and I wrote two computer
science. Oh, you're a geek, aren't you? That was unfair because George is also a member of the National Speakers Association of Georgia and is a dynamic speaker. Now he's blushing, but he's a geek with spirit and grace. Now, back to the question. How did one and two come out?
So I wrote two computer science textbooks back in the 1980s.
Oh, my goodness.
So there was, once again, a purpose, a vision that I was trying to accomplish in writing those books there.
And what was that?
Well, they were actually my master's degrees. I wrote both books as my theses for my master's degree.
And that's a great way to go.
Yeah, it served dual purpose. It got me credit, it got me graduated, and produced two books there.
Now, see, my very first book that actually was printed, I had several manuscripts that came later, but Healing Plants of the Bible Then and Now was my doctoral dissertation for my naturopathy degree. And I wrote it without thinking about getting it published. And then one of my professional colleagues kind of rapped me on the head. You know, I think it was called knocking sense into me. And I got it published. Did you intend to get it published when you were writing them?
No, I did not.
But it was fun, wasn't it?
It was a challenge.
Okay.
a learning experience. I both learning all the material and learning how to write a book, which has served me tremendously in my entire professional career going forward.
Absolutely. And it's not a case that you just sit down and start to write, is it?
No. What I have found, both in my career and writing future books, is that you research things and you end up with this huge array of information. And you sit there and you look at this, how can I fit this together? I've got all these pieces, parts. Remember the Wendy's chicken commercial from years ago? And you try to figure out how is this going to fit together. And developing those islands of information allow you to start putting chapters together, and those chapters then flow into the book, et cetera, et cetera.
What's it like when you hold that first copy off the press?
It is an unbelievable experience.
Yeah, see what you got to look forward to, Justin?
Yes, I do.
But I relate to that. You know, the story I like to tell, and maybe you've done this, George, is when my book comes out, I go to Amazon right away to see if it's listed. Then I call my wife and say, go to Amazon, put in my name, and see what happens. And then I hear the, oh, that's you.
That is cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's me. And it's fun. And I do it with my kids and everybody. What do you like to do when you hold your first book?
Just to look at it. Just to look at it and the feel. This book's going to have a embossed cover. So I'm just looking forward to feeling that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That is fun. What impact have your previous books had on your business, or were they so unrelated?
They were so unrelated. In this book, these two books, my third and fourth book, really actually were 15 years in the making. Let me take a step back and kind of share our business
Please.
Planning from Fountainhead Consulting Group, how it came into being. I have a full-service CPA firm, Horrigan & Company CPAs, and we strictly focused on businesses and business owners. And starting in 1995, when I created Horrigan & Company, clients came to us and said, George, we love these CPA services that are focused on us as business owners and our business. But they said, even though we love these comprehensive CPA services, we would like additional assistance with the business itself. And that's where Fountainhead came from. A client started asking me questions like, George, how do you start a business? How do you grow a business? How do you maximize a business's profitability? How do you take the business to the next level? How do you create an exit strategy? Well, the funny thing was, I started four businesses back in the 1980s, and these were the exact same questions I had wrestled with. So I had, in starting those four businesses, I developed a basic framework of how you grow an existing business and start a new business. So I dusted off that framework back in 1995 and started doing some additional reading, research, studying, analyzing, trying to take that framework into an actual methodology. And that methodology has evolved to become what is our current structure of success methodology, which is built upon our experience with over 1,200 businesses these last 15 years.
So what I really appreciate in what you said there is you're the epitome of what would be my best client. I firmly believe that all business people and entrepreneurs and professionals, hence the tag for the show, have a book inside them. Because what they've done is they've developed this unique approach. You know, you're Justin and you are both CPAs, and you do different kinds of work. And what you've done is unique, and you've made a book out of it. And that's part of what I want to encourage people to do, and that's why I've had fun having both of you on here today, is to show, here's Justin over here dealing with the buzz, and George, you're on book three and four, and you're still dealing with the buzz, but you're persevering.
Tim, I think you're exactly right. As far as nonfiction books, I feel they need to come from content. Your expertise. And most of us have an area of expertise and a particularly view on that expertise. And that's how these books came about. Having worked with all these businesses and taken our methodology and honed it, actually writing the books was very, very simple, these third and fourth books, because I just took what we've done
what
for clients.
Done. Yeah.
Yeah. and just added additional verbiage and fleshed it out.
And made yourself look really good.
Well,
no,
hopefully, hopefully the books will do that.
No, that's but what I like there, too, is that we're getting practical experience. This is not theoretical. This is what you have done, which means you've probably stuck in some of the don't do this. Is that right?
We didn't put that many don't do that. We put more do this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because so many business owners know what not to do. They're experiencing
well,
it right now.
That's good.
Yeah. It's like, okay, they've got hundreds, if not thousands, of experience in their business of, okay, this didn't work out, this didn't work out. Instead of discouraging them more, because a typical business owner now, a smaller business owner, we're talking about $10 million and down, is pretty discouraged. It's pretty frustrated with their business. So we took the high road of saying, okay, this is what you need to do to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you need to do to have that thriving business, to have that business that is your vision.
And you really work on that with people one-on-one.
Yes.
Go in and you look at their unique situation, or at least unique to them, and deal with it. It may be, you may have a template that fits everybody, but you're still making sure that you're dealing with where they're coming from.
That is exactly correct. And Tim, it is a blast.
I'm sure it is.
It is a blast to show somebody how this dream that you have for your business, you don't need to give up on it.
Mm-hmm.
That dream can become a reality.
Well, I have a question for you.
So yes, sir, Andy.
You talk about putting down methodology. Was there any apprehension as you tried to write anything that, you know, as Justin was talking about, you know, kind of trying to get things out of your head and onto paper? Because you mentioned that you started with your business back in 92.
95.
Or 95. So almost 20 years ago, right? Methodology we have seen come and go. Things that worked back then don't work now. Were there any reservations that you had to go through thinking, should I put this in this book because 5 years from now things may change and it's not relevant anymore? Did you wrestle with any of that?
Not in any way, shape, or form. I view myself as a business philosopher. I think about businesses all the time in a good way. And I've thought about businesses 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago. The principles that we've
you
laid out.
You thought about businesses that were in existence 5,000 years ago. The way you said that, it was like you're about 250,000 years old.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I had to do that.
I'm sorry. But I've thought about businesses. How did a business operate in Mesopotamia?
Mm-hmm.
How did a business operate at the time of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
How did the business operate in the Middle Ages? And the thoughts and the concepts that we've laid down, that we've worked with over 1,200 businesses, are basically eternal. And that was one of the things that I had hoped to do with this book, is not from a prideful standpoint, but from a humble standpoint, is to give a gift to businesses. And that's one of the reasons I wrote the book. Clients came to us and said, George, every single book, or every single business in America, if not the world, needs what you've taught us.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, what better way to get that information out than to write a book.
Than to write a book, exactly.
As you know, a book goes places you can't go there.
I have that in one of my books somewhere. I wrote that.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
I'm not the creator of that statement, but that is just it. You know, because I have, my books are in the seminary library in Peki, Volta region, Ghana,
mm-hmm.
which is a bush village. Well, they're there because I used to be on staff at that seminary, you know, but I still know that I'm impacting people as they're training to become ministers, and that's pretty powerful.
That is an incredibly encouraging thing in your heart when you think about that, if you're making the world a better place there.
Isn't that the
very
truth?
Cool.
Yeah.
George, you mentioned getting the book to places that you can't go. What was kind of your plan for distribution of your book? How did you get it out there and into the hands of people? And maybe what have you learned through three different books of doing that?
Well, the third and fourth books are completely different, and everything has changed from 1985, 84, when I wrote those previous books. So I almost look at this like a past life there. But these books, I have a very structured approach of how I want to utilize these books and take advantage of the content. And do you want me to share what what the marketing plan is?
I think we'd like to hear a little bit of that. Sure, okay. Our listeners are always trying to figure out how do I get my book into the hands of people and not just in my own.
Well, I took the two books once I finished them, and I broke them down into the various topics. There are basically 85 different topics that are covered in both books that I can write articles on. And I've actually written 4 articles. I've got 5 more articles partially finished. So the game plan is to basically serialize the books into articles. Our target audience are businesses, basically $100 million and down, but our sweet spot is $10 million, $20 million and down. Those type of businesses congregate into industry, trade, business organizations. Industry, trade, business organizations have publications which they have a crying need, magazines, newsletters, e-zines for content. So the overall game plan is the 85 articles will be content that will go into industry, trade, business publications, which then opens the door to speaking to those organizations. Both the articles and the speaking drive the book sales.
Because you'll do the backroom sales.
Correct.
Yeah, that's great.
Which then ends up driving our consulting practice. So the book sales drives the speaking drives the book sales, the articles drive the book sales and the speaking, and all that drives our consulting practice.
That's brand volume and margin.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
The only thing that needs to happen is it become a reality.
Yeah.
I've laid it out and I've talked to a number of experts and they've said that is a brilliant, brilliant approach there. So hopefully, and prayerfully, it'll happen.
Yeah, but the key there is that marketing is 80% of the success of a book.
Absolutely, Tim. You are hitting 100% the nail on the head there. Yeah. You know, if you write the book, it's just going to sit there on a shelf doing absolutely nothing. You've got to have the drive to say, okay, I'm going to use this book to accomplish something and then have an overall game plan for doing that.
I think as challenging as those 800 yards are in the swamp, that's still only 20% of the work.
That's true.
The marketing is. Well, what advice would you give those who are considering writing a book?
I would say look at your background, your expertise, and say, what message do I have inside of me that needs to get out? Literally just like that voice shouting that just can't be contained. And mine that in yourself, M-I-N-E, mine, that in yourself. And then look at that from a vision standpoint. Envision that getting out and how it's going to impact people's lives. And those two things will drive you forward, will give you the encouragement, the energy, the determination to write that book.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
That's how you get out of the swamp.
That's how you get out of the swamp.
That's how you get. I like that.
Get through the swamp.
There you go. Well, people want to be in contact with you, ask you about your company, your consulting, your writing. What's the best way to do that?
Okay. Our website is GOTO, as in go to, FCG, as in Fountainhead Consulting Group. So GOTO FCG.com, and my email address is george.horrigan, that's H-O-R-R-I-G-A-N, once again at GOTOFCG.com, and our office phone number is 770-642-4220, 770-642-4220.
Great. Well, I'm going to open up the mics. Both of you have been making notes and gesticulating while the other have been talking. What do we got? Questions, conversations, challenges of each other or me?
Or crickets. I need to get my sound effects file, you know, that way when you leave it, I can get that look.
That was Andy. Thank you, Andy.
I'm here to support George, and help any way I can.
I understand.
George, what do you see as a common thing that you can help clients with when they come to you as business people want to get to the next level?
Let me answer this from two standpoints. Unfortunately, most business owners are very frustrated. A typical business owner has expectations for their business today, hopes for tomorrow, and dreams for down the road. And they say to themselves, this is the business I have. These are my hopes and my dreams for my business. Here's where I'm at. Here's where I want to go. How do I get from here to there? But for so many business owners, there's a chasm between the business they have and their hopes and their dreams for their business. And what business owners cry out for is say, give me a structured approach, not a cookie cutter, but step one, step two, step three, step four, of how you get from where you're at to where I want to be.
That's how you get out of the business swamp.
That's how to get out of the business swamp. You're exactly correct there.
You're understanding all of this, aren't you, Justin?
I do.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I'm relating to this, too, because, you know, Right Choice Services as it is today is not as it was 5 years ago when I really started working it full-time, nor as it was 7 years ago when I bought it. And it's taking more shape, and I have more savvy than I think my dad drummed this into me. He was a business owner, so... but that giving a template, not a cookie cutter.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's what clients love. What it does, it eliminates that guesswork, the uncertainty, the leap of faith, the what do I do next. It's literally all laid out. And the first book, which is called Thriving Businesses, it shows you in 7 steps how you get a thriving business, how you get traction in the business, gets the business so it's viable, so you're profitable. The second book, the fourth book that I've written, comes out next year, and the title, that's Work Less, Make More, and Have Fun in Your Business. Work Less, Make More, and Have Fun in Your Business. And the subtitle of that is How to Create the Business of Your Dreams in 12 Easy Steps. So that picks up where the first book leaves off and says, okay.
There's more than 7 steps then.
Yes.
Darn. But what I see from both of you is you're the unlicensed marriage counselor, and maybe you need to have 7 steps to a happier marriage based upon financing.
Yeah, granted, that's probably a 12-step program.
12-step
joke.
Oh, okay. I like that. I like that. That's probably why you have 12 in your 7 book, right? Recovery.
Yes.
How do we move on from here?
Yes.
Well, great. Well, my friends, the clock is on us, and I welcome your comments and suggestions about content and our guests. And if you would like to recommend a guest or be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. All you have to do is send me an email, and that would go to whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. And I do get emails from people suggesting guests. So why don't you join that group of people? Thank you, Andy, for handling the controls. I want to hear Thanks. The crickets chirping next week.
I got to work on that sound effect file, but I'll see what I can do.
Please do that. And thank you to our guests, Justin Streeter and George Horrigan. Justin, your contact information again.
It is jstreeter@streeter-riddle.com. That's jstreeter@streeter-riddle.com. That's RIDDLE.
Okay.
And 678-456-5546.
And George, your contact information.
george.horrigan@goto, as in go to, FCG, FountainheadConsultingGroup.com, and 770-642-4220 is our phone number.
Great. Well, Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. Learn more about Right Choice Services at www.right, that's W-R-I-T-E, choiceservices.com. I hope you will join us next week, and tell your friends about the show. Send them an email. Invite them to listen live or to the downloads later in the day. Right Here, Right Now, broadcast live every Tuesday morning at 10 Eastern Time at righterightnow.businessradiox.com. And the MP3 version is available later today. I am Tim Morrison. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business right here, right now.